Here. Welcome to the Hey Hef podcast, where I dive into music, new opportunities, life lessons, and many more. Tonight's episode, I will be talking about the balancing act or navigating journalism with my good friend Kendall or Ken. What do they call you, Ken Dog? Ken something?
It's been thrown out there a few times. Ken Dog, Kendall.
Well, you took my friend's nickname. I'm just letting you know.
Don't have any friends.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be a guest on Hey Hef Podcast.
Thank you, and I'm glad you're part of this. I'm glad you are. I remember I said to you if I was ever do one, he was like, "Yeah, of course, I got your back." So yeah, we finally here, y'all. I'm happy. So just to give you guys a little bit backstory, me and Kendall, we used to be, well, of course, we're still friends, but I used to be like a mentee, shadow work, I do not know what it's called, at Fox 19 back in 2022. And this was for my internship for my class at the time. But other than that, getting to know Kendall was just like funny, goofy, because I learned. And as you guys could tell from the title of the video, I like the fact that he had a balance between having fun, but also like taking his, of course, his career slash job seriously. Like, you don't want to always come into work and just be like, "Oh, here I go again." No, like, "Here I go again. I'm about to have fun." That's how you want to handle it. So, Kendall, so tell everybody how we became friends, and also can tell everyone my nickname if you want. So.
So I think it was my you were an intern at Fox 19. I don't know how fast I'm about to tell the story. I forgot, but you were one of our interns. You were actually one of my first interns that I had at Fox 19. I remember I was out of the story, and one of the producers, she called me panic, and she said, "Kendall, you don't need a reporter we got, but we're going crazy with coverage." I believe, I don't think it was election. It was something busy going on that day, and they didn't have enough time to take you in and show you a lot. And they knew that I would. Not saying I wasn't busy, but I had to. I was out of the story. I was door knocking, so I just turned around, came back, and got you. And we hung out for the day. I believe the story was wasn't it the lady that tried to break in? The guy tried to break into our house or something like that. So I did that story. I came back, got you, and we went out and we door knocked together. We knocked the story out, and we've been locked in ever since. And the nickname came because I was introducing you to. I'm not gonna say the names because I don't want you to get spotted or anything. But I was introducing you to some of the people after the shift was over, and you were saying hi to them. And when you said hi, you were sticking through your whole Starbucks drink, and that birthed the name Butterfingers.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think you looked at it as if I was nervous from your point of view. But my point of view was I kind of knew the one of the first anchors. I did not know the other one, but I knew of her through someone else in my family at the time. And you probably thought like, "Oh, she's Butterfingers because she spilled her drink and she was nervous." Like, no, I wasn't that nervous. It just happened. It just happened. So like, I have my moments where I do trip or spill things, but yeah, and how he got the nickname Ken Doll was because he looked like a Ken doll. Like, he looks like a Barbie Ken doll, if you know what I'm trying to say. And it kind of relates to his name. So
Thank you, brother.
yeah, you're welcome. So I'm going to do you incorporate fun into your professional life? Or like, how do you just do it? How do you do it?
I'm just an I'm not a I'm a social introvert, so I'm very to myself. You're always gonna catch me at my house, but whenever I'm talking to people and I'm interacting with people, I'm always full of life and full of energy. My dad always told me, treat people the way you want to be treated. And I like to have a good time. I'm not too serious. I'm never too high or too low. I'm always pretty in the middle, but I'm usually a little bit more of a fun guy, a little rambunctious at times. But I'm a naturally funny guy. I like to keep the mood light, and because I know life can be serious, especially in journalism. Now I'm doing sports, but before that, as you know, I was doing a lot of hard news. So that can kind of get to your mental a lot. So I like to try to keep my I like to keep it fun and make sure everybody's having a good time, because we all against deadlines, we all against the clock, we all have a job to be done, but we still need to have fun.
Yes, and I will say this too. Believe it or not, during my time getting to know you in that year, and just doing my thing. You also taught me how to like make conversation with people. 'Cause even though I do make conversations with people, you kind of brought that out into me a little bit. And to this day, I use that, whether it's 9 to 5 or something that is new, having conversations with people and just having fun and just talking can make a big impact to anybody. So I want to give you that prop to this day. And you kind of inspired me to do that. So, yeah. So,
Thank you.
you're welcome. So, what made you want to become a journalist, or who or what inspired you to going into this field?
I didn't really know much about journalism at first, so I went to a really good high school, so I got to give it to my high school. I was so at my high school, we had radio. My junior year, I took radio. I was in the entry level radio class. And juniors and seniors at my high school can register for classes early. My junior year, my mom was off of work for some reason that day, and she was able to take me to register for my classes. My senior year, I don't know if she didn't have any more PTO time or what, but she trusted me to go and register for classes, which I'm usually pretty responsible, but that day I wasn't. So I missed the early enrollment day. So then I had to go and register with the freshmen and sophomores. And I was hanging out with one of my best friends the night before, and he and I, we were. Mind you, my curfew was nothing but like 11:30, 12 o'clock. I was partying way too long for it. I told you I'm a social introvert, and so I wound up. My mom had woke me up that morning, and she said, "Kendall, you want to drive me to work, and you take my car, and you go and register for classes, and then you come pick me up, or do you want to just stay home and you walk around your bike?" I said, "I'll walk around my bike." My bike wasn't even working, so I was going to either have to walk or walk. So I was, "Oh, I'll do that. I'll do that." And I woke up and I remember I ate some Chinese food. I watched a little bit of First Take and I went right back to sleep. Mind you, First Take in Chicago, in Chicago time goes off at 12. I slept from 12 until the time my mom got home, which is about 5:30, almost 6 o'clock. My mom, she came home and woke me up and she said, "What classes do we get? What classes do we get?" And my eyes got super big. I was like, "None." She thought I was, because I'm always joking. So she thought I was being funny and I wasn't. I was like, "Man, I didn't register for any classes." And she went off. My mom has went off on me a lot, but to that extent, no, she was like, she was cursing me out, but her fingers. She told me, "You better get up right now and get ready so we can go up to that school." And I remember I had to take a shower and I was like walking past. I was scared she was going to hit me or something. That's how she was cursing that bad at. And get up to the school, and she cursed from the time we were in the house to the time we got to the school. She said, "You better hope that school is open." I'm like, "Mom, relax, the school is open." But I'm praying to God in my head, like, "Lord, please let this school be open so that I can register for these classes." Luckily, the school was open, and when I got inside, my guidance counselor was still there, and she was telling me, "Oh, Mr. Howard, we thought you were going to transfer out. We didn't see you here, and usually you always register for classes on time." I'm like, "Yeah, I know, right?" And so I was like, "Can I just do radio?" And I was like, "Whatever the next easy class is, I'll do that." I don't remember. I think it was like art and archery or something like that. It was art, archery were the two easy classes. And you had aviation and TV. And my mom was like, "No, he's going to do aviation and TV." Well, aviation is pilot. Being a pilot, I'm scared of heights. So I was like, "That's not going to work." But my mom always wanted me to at least try it. That's actually the reason she moved us over there so I could try aviation. And I was like, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I'm legit scared of heights." So I did aviation and TV. I wound up dropping aviation going into my second semester of high school, but TV I fell in love with. And I fell in love with TV from behind the lens, being a photographer. If I had did it my freshman year on up to my senior year, I would have been able to be in front of the TV. But by me being in the entry level class, I had to just be behind the camera. And I did all the basketball games. I think it was, I think a fall, I think a spring. I think, yeah, basketball was in the winter. And then we had track and field. I did a few track and field events, and then to graduate, we had to do an unfun event, which was it was like a middle school play or music band. It was something. It was super boring, but it was like 3 hours. I had to do it, and that was like the only boring thing I did in it. And I remember I didn't know because I just knew I could be a photographer, but every photographer I knew didn't make much money. So I was like, I don't want to have a side hustle that I really enjoy, but I have a job that I didn't like. And I went to a community college called College of DuPage. And at College of DuPage, I wound up getting my gen eds out the way. And one of my best friends to this day, Dallas Flowers, he actually plays for the Indianapolis Colts. So shout out to you. Proud of you always, bro.
Oh, okay.
And I went down to visit him. I shouldn't say down to visit. He literally went to school downtown at Robert Morris. So I just got on the expressway and drove 15 minutes and hung out with him one day. And I needed that because I was working a job I didn't really like. I was working at WeatherTech. They were working me like crazy, Butterfingers. I was a full-time student and a full-time employee at WeatherTech. And I remember I went to hang out with him one day, and it was probably the best thing that ever happened because I wanted to go to Robert Morris like he did. Cause I was like, oh, I love the city. And I texted my mom that night. I was like, hey, I think I should look into Robert Morris. She said, are you really like it? I was like, yeah, I do. And 2 days later, my best friend Dallas, he went to Robert Morris. And while he was at Robert Morris, I went to hang out with him one day, which I really needed because I was kind of feeling low. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was working at WeatherTech. I really didn't want to be there, but I needed a job because, as you're an adult, you need a job. And I remember my mom, I text my mom, hey, mom, I'm really enjoying here down being down here at Robert Morris with Dallas. I think this is something I really like to do. And she was telling me, oh, that's really good that you like it. Because if my mom, she knows just like I do, I've never really enjoyed school. So it was kind of nice that she saw, okay, he's actually enjoying something school related for once. And she wound up a few days later after I told her, I think I want to go to Robert Morris, she wound up telling me, I think you'll like Columbia a lot more, look into it. She sent me a bunch of details on at Columbia. So during my lunch break at work, I remember thinking, I was, man, this is really nice. And I wound up applying for it the next day. I was at school. I ran to the library real quick and I applied for Columbia. I got accepted a few days later. I was really excited. That was one of the first times I was like, oh man, I'm doing something with myself that I'm really proud of. I'm not saying I was a loser or anything, but I didn't really know what I was going to do next in life. So when I got to Columbia,
Kendall, no, you're not. No, don't say that at all. No.
I appreciate that. But yeah, no, I wound up doing that. And when I got to Columbia that next year, I wound up meeting probably the biggest impact of my life. Her name is Asia White. Asia, I remember the first day of class, I saw her come in. And I thought she was a teacher because she was wearing a skirt and heels. I was like, man, these teachers are serious. I was like, man, they mean business. And Asia got me out of my shell because I'm not big on really doing too much to stick out. I like to just fly under the radar, do my work, and go home. Asia's one of those people. She's all about her business. She don't play any games. And so if she wants it, she's gonna go for it. And I remember we used to go back and forth all the time in class because she was an Ohio State and Michigan State fan, and I was a Bama fan for football. And so we used to battle all the time. I used to make fun of her for liking two Big Ten schools, and she used to make fun of me for liking the most stacked program of college football, which was just my dad. My dad liked Bama, and that was the only football team he used to watch. So it was the one I grew up watching. So that's how I got my love for them. But we used to just mess with each other all day, and a teacher wound up saying, "You all need a show." And I said, "I wouldn't be on a show with this girl. She crazy." And that semester ended, and I didn't see her second semester at all because we didn't have any more classes together. And I'll never forget this day. I was hot. I was waiting at Harold's. It's the Harold's in the South Loop. They were taking forever to give me my food. They never gave me this long of a time ever. They finally gave me my food. I start walking out. I'm mad. I'm walking a mile a minute. I'm walking super fast to get back to my dorm. And who do I run into? Asia. She's like, oh my God, come here, give me a hug. We hug and she was like, what's your number? We exchanged numbers. And I'm about to leave because I'm starving. Because they didn't took forever to give me I seriously think I was in there for 30 minutes. I'm not joking. And I'm usually pretty understandable. When I'm hungry, all my understanding goes out the window. So she wound up telling me, oh yeah, I need to get your number because I have an idea of this show called The Fourth Quarter. I would love for you to be featured on it with me. And I was like, hey, I got you. I got you. You got my number. Just text me, praying that she don't really text me about this show. Cause I'm like, what if I do bad? What if I look crazy? What if I know what to say? I'm just thinking all the negative what ifs that could possibly come from it. And it was about a month. I remember I texted my mom, like, I hope this girl don't follow up on this. And then I remember the girl I was dating at the time too. I told her, I was like, I pray she don't follow up on this because I would not do good. And my mom had so much faith in me. She said, this might be good for you. You should really try it. About a month went past. She didn't say anything. And I remember one night I'm laying down. I just got in from work. At this time, I'm working at Abercrombie at the water tower. And she texts me, hey, Ken, I have this idea of this show called The Fourth Quarter. This is what I'm thinking. She had a full list, a rundown, and everything. And I was, oh, she means business. She's not joking. So we wound up doing it. I went to our house one day to do a little game plan, and it took off from there. And I'm super happy that that happened because the first year we did the show, she used to kill me. She came in ready. She came in notes, talking points, everything. I just came in with good vibes and a face. That's all I came in with. Just me. I came in as Kendall, and she used to demolish me. So it took me about a year to learn. She comes prepared. Never come unprepared. You don't come to a fight, with no intentions on doing anything. You got to have a backup plan. You have to have a plan and a backup plan and a plan for the backup. So Asia always had that, and she would really do a good job of, even if she was wrong, it sounded like she was more prepared than I was because she actually had talking points. I'm just blindly arguing at that point. So I learned to start coming in with talking points, coming in with notes, being prepared and taking it serious. And the second year was a real big hit. I remember the show was a big hit, and she taught me to always go for whatever you want to. And I remember we had a lot of hiccups. Her and I, we learned journalism together. We were just two kids learning our ins and outs of journalism, honestly, and we took it as far as we could with one another. And with her, she taught me to always go for what I want. I wound up getting a podcast in college, getting a radio show in college, and then two internships as well, in sports that wound up helping me get my first job. So if it wasn't for Asia, I never had that get up and go about me to ever do any of it. And my two internships, I remember when I was working at not CBS Sports, NBC Sports Chicago, Adam Yingst, he was one of the executive producers.
I want to point this out as you continue your life in general in journalism, is that your friend and your mother has always had faith in you. They always probably had that vision in you, or they saw some head on or early on. And I can just tell that from where you are, where you were at then, and where you at currently, I just give them a clap on the hand, because if you wasn't into something like this, we wouldn't have this conversation right now. But I can just tell them to really have faith in you, and they already saw something in you. And I think those little moments of people in your life you come across, whether it's family, friends, or people that you never thought you would see again, can make a big difference. Like one of my friends, shout out to Miles if he ever listens and hear this episode, because we did an episode together too a while back. And I feel like we both see something in each other when it comes to our careers and stuff like that. He wants to see me do great. I want to do the same thing too. Like I can see him in different like genres of, if it's not journalism, then it's probably acting or something similar to in those two fields. Just like with you, I'm happy that you sports journalism. I could tell sports journalism was in you too, because like the times that we would like catch up with one another, we'll talk about sports and stuff. Like I'll ask you like, oh, do you like music? Like you're like, no, I don't really like that. Okay, stop asking me. So I could just tell that you're into something that makes you passionate. Yes, other things that you did led you up to this moment of where you at now. And many more is going to come too. So you can continue. I just wanted to tell you that because I'm just like, okay, Kendall, coming up in the world.
Yeah, but the last thing I was saying was Adam Yinks. He was our executive. He's one of the executive producers, not the executive producer. He's one of the producers, excuse me, at NBC Sports at this, obviously at the sports department. And he took a liking to me. I don't know what it was about me that he really liked. And he said, "How's your reel coming along?" And I remember I could have cried. I was like, "Man, I haven't even gotten started on my reel. I didn't really know what a reel was. I wasn't a good journalist in college. I thought I was, but I had a professor in college who he used to really rip my work to shreds. So I was really scared to even put a reel together because I was like, I'm not good. I'm probably not gonna get a job." He straight up told me one day, he watched one of my packages and told me McDonald's is hiring. And I'll never forget, I'm not a violent person, but I was like, if he want, we can go outside and fight. And right now, it was freezing cold. I was like, we can go in the snow and fight. And he was like, "Let me see it." I was like, I was super nervous to show him. I showed him my reel. He said it wasn't bad. And he actually helped me put it together. And it was a he put it together for a college reel. I'm not gonna say it would hold weight to what I do now, but it was good for a college reel, and it got me my first job. So, Mom, Asia, and Adam, you all are the biggest blessings in helping me get my first job, and that's how I got my start in journalism.
I'm proud of you, Kendall. I'm really am proud of you. And even like the moments where people like say things that are kind of like bringing other people down, I like the fact that people use that as motivation to kind of get them to keep going. Don't let one little thing or a lot of little things get the best of us. What are some similarities between soft and hard journalism versus sports journalism?
It's gonna sound cliche, but journalism is journalism. Having you got to get that story out there. So everybody has a story, no matter what it is. And I think for me, a lot of times people, a lot of my coworkers, they love a lot of my sports stories because I get to do a behind the scenes story. And I got a really good point of doing that working at Fox 19 and at KHQA my first 2 years. And it was really helpful because I got to actually tell stories and all breaking news stories. I got to tell enterprise stories. Enterprise story is when you get to tell of a person and things of that nature. So I got to give you every single story of every background. So now I have background in co and from college from doing sports, and I have 4 years of experience of doing hard news, even soft news, enterprise news, whatever, election news, whatever you might need, I have a background in it. It's not very much I haven't done in my first 5 years of journalism. Not saying I was always great at it, but I have m more than enough background in it to be able to hold my own whenever I'm doing anything. And within sports is pretty much what I love, and it's still reporting. So I know how to do a live shot. I know how to write a story. It's maybe something different, but it's what I'm used to. So you always got to be able to learn on a fly and be acclimated to whatever the new conditions are. Just like my first time doing an election story, I'm not big on politics, but you got to be a reputable source and know what you're doing. So you got to do your research, who the elected officials are, who are the people running against them, who's the incumbent, who's whoever it may be. You got to learn what you're doing, and you got to make yourself comfortable being uncomfortable.
Glad you said that because there are some things that I'm looking for because I am, and I'm supposed to say this in one of my later episodes, but I will mention it again. But I'm soon to be wrapping up Heyhead for a little bit until I find what else I want to talk about. But I'm glad you mentioned those two, mentioned some of those topics because it's a possibility I may venture into some of those topics in the future of this podcast too. But I do like the fact that when I interview, we talk about other things. Yes, we do talk about similar things that we both grew up on or what we like, but I also like the fact that we also have a balance between understanding different things that we come across in some of our passions. Like I said, I have a passion for music, and I talk about music sometimes because of what I grew up on, what I've seen right now, and then other people I know of or I'm close to that are into similar things, or may not into similar things, but actually school me on other things. Like somebody was telling me, like, this song came out when this happened and things like that. I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't even know. I knew it came out that time, but I didn't know when the story behind it. So those little things like make things different. And you look at it like, okay, now I know how this happened, things like that. It's a possibility I may become a music journalist. I don't really know exactly, but what I do know is that I do want to go into something that I have background in, but also something that I'm passionate about, and that's where the film comes in. You know how, like you mentioned about behind the camera, I'm kind of like behind the camera too, but I also think about what exactly do I want to showcase to other people, and you kind of showed me that because even though I didn't get the full on hands-on experience when it came to like camera equipment, I will say that when you interview someone, when it was like a situation in someone's neighborhood, I remember you actually tilt the camera where you're interviewing, you can hear the person, you're interviewing that person, but you don't see their face. And I did that when in my on my documentary this last year. So I interviewed a friend of mine's, and instead of me recording her because I asked permission, she didn't want to be on camera. I just faced the camera on the wall or something, so that you can still hear her, but you don't see her, and then just for out of like, respect to people's space. And like I said, certain things that I learn from other people, I pick up and I use that in my daily life. So like I said, you kind of inspired me to get into like other things too. So I do have like one more question. And what advice can you give anybody that interested in, journalism or interested in sports or anything that's similar in this industry?
I would tell them always go for what you believe, always follow your heart. Never underestimate yourself and what you can do because we all have greatness in us. You just have to have that will to bring it out of you. And for me, I had people in my corner that believe in me, but I believe in myself, especially my mom. My mom always, I remember I used to ask, when I graduated college, I had sat down and talked to her. I said, "Mom, why are you always so hard on me and always pushing me to do something?" Because I didn't see what I had in me. And she told me, she hugged me and told me, "Kendall, I've always knew you were special, even when you were down on yourself. I've always knew that you were going to be something because just because you don't see it in yourself doesn't mean that everybody else doesn't see excellence in you. And you got to have people that believe in you, and that's where it starts at. You got to get molded in, and then that mold just grows, and you can become whatever you want to be. So always just go for it. If you want to try it, go for it. You saw we were in Asia, and I started off as independent journalists that didn't know anything. We had bad photographers. We had to get in where we fit in at the school because they didn't approve us to be on the school TV show. So her and I would have to work around their schedule and get in whenever we had time to, record for 30 minutes to an hour. So we had to work on a real time crunch, and we got good on, that's how we learned how to work on deadlines because we didn't have much time to do anything. So we had to hurry up and knock things out. And also always be a sponge. Never feel like you've learned enough. Always be willing to learn more. That's what drives me irate when I meet people. They're like, "Oh, you know, it is what it is. It'll be done. I don't have to learn anything else. I'll just keep it going with this." I know you need to keep being able to learn. You have to be able to learn because without that, you're never going to be great at anything or even good at anything. Or
It's
if you are
true.
good at it, you're going to only be good at it because you're not willing to keep learning more and more.
That's true. That's true. I've learned since this past year, I've learned to be more open-minded to things and try out new things. You never know what you like until you be open-minded. And just a bonus question, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So, since it's Wednesday, I found a Wednesday question. What do you want to be when you grow up?
When I was a kid, what did I want to be when I grew up, or what do I want to be now?
Both, both.
As a kid, I didn't know what I wanted to be. Journalism, I don't want to say like save my life, like I was going down a bad path in life, but I never really knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be a loser. I knew I wanted to be the person that lived in my mom and dad's basement until I was 30 or 40 or 50 or anything, but I knew that I was going to do something. I just didn't know if I was going to be working in jobs that I love or just doing stuff to make money. Luckily, my mom sent me to it. I shouldn't say my mom, my dad was there too. My mom and dad sent me to a high school that had a lot of electives that you could try to, learn from and do different things. So journalism kind of helped. If I was going to be anything as a kid, if I could be, it was going to be a baseball player. I wasn't very good. Once I got out of middle school, I wasn't very good anymore. I was pretty good at defense. But you're not going to make it too far being good at defense, especially if you can't hit. So I learned. It's time for me to get a job. And then, what do I see myself now as an adult? I would love to stay in sports journalism. Sports journalism is my true passion. So, thank you, WPTV, for giving me that opportunity to be able to pursue my dream and actually be able to live the dream that I envisioned when I was a child.
I'm so proud of you, Kendall. And to answer this Wednesday question for me, as a kid, I wanted to be everything I saw on TV or everything that other people wanted me to be. It took until, believe it or not, college to kind of open my eyes up to what is it that I want to do, whether it's the rest of my life or some parts of my life. I do want to, as a kid, I wanted to be like a teacher or at least be like a doctor or be for kids. But as I got older, and though I got the taste of that in college a little bit, I knew deep down it wasn't my thing like that. I don't mind interacting with kids because some kids do gravitate towards me. But I realized storytelling is my calling, or at least some form of storytelling, whether it's through music, whether it's through a film, whether it's through a book, whatever the case may be. I like to be a storyteller. I like to learn from other people's stories, but I also like to use some of that in a way to kind of keep me going and never lose sight of my creativity side. One thing I will say about my parents, especially my mom and my dad, they both have like a creativity side of them that they show a lot. And my dad, he knows how to draw a lot. My mother kind of writes. So some of those things I learn, I adapt from them. Like I know how to draw a little bit, I know how to write a little bit, and I kind of correlate those into my life. likelihood sometimes. So yeah, I'm excited, and I do not know what God has in store for me in the long run, but what I do know is that I'm not gonna give up on my vision of storytelling. So I'm happy. Thank you guys for coming out and listening in to Hey Hev, and my good friend Kendall, or Ken Dog, or whatever you guys want to call him. Shout out to his mother and your one of your best friends, keeping you going and wants to see you do best in life and everything. And we're gonna come back with more stuff, you know, because Hey Hev will be coming back soon. In my next episode, I'll be talking about passion projects and many more. So tune in with more. Follow me at Hey Hev Artists. Follow Kendall, what's your name? What's your at?
My Instagram is KHI15, and then my Twitter is Kendall High TV.
Right. You already got us. All right. Love y'all. Have a good one.
Well, thank you, Butterfingers. That was fun.
Thank you. I'm glad you came on again. I'm glad we redid this. It was fun.
Yeah, that was real fun.